You're listening to Become Family, a podcast aimed at restoring confidence in marriage and family life. You're supposed to do the intro. As I said, you do. We're back for another one. What episode is this? 112, 113?
Something like that. Shoot, you want me to check?
No.
Okay. Well, welcome back.
We're back for another episode, and we were just recounting our day, and we're like, you know what? This would make nice banter. Monica's going to start braiding Gianna's hair for jujitsu.
Yep.
Because Jean Paul tapped her out. When was it? Was it Friday? Or was it just downstairs?
No, Friday.
Was it Friday?
She's just getting her hair pulled out when people are on top of her, and she's getting pinned by her hair, and it's very frustrating because she's like, I'm doing all the moves right.
But it was funny. Like her hair is being pinned. And then I said to her, like, just tap out if it hurts.
Yeah.
And like,
she doesn't want to do that.
No. And then Colby today was like, yeah, my ear was caught between the mats and I started getting rug burn on my ear and it really hurt. I was like, just tap. If those little parts of your body are in a bad place, just tap. There's no reason. Like
reset, start
yes,
over.
Like the amount of times I've tapped to Kyle because like I've gotten like a pinky stuck in a sleeve or one time my toe got stuck in his gi
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, nope, tap. Cause like, I'm going to break something.
Yeah,
cause like,
yeah,
you don't know.
It's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it.
For a friendly role.
It's not a competition.
Yeah. Yeah. So she does not like getting her hair done. I don't think she likes the feeling of hair ties in her hair, like during the day. And so she just always ends up taking them out. But
gotta do that. She's softball braid.
I know that's what's coming. So she's willing now that she's had her hair pulled out a few times.
Would you be able to do that? So like, say she's just today. Would you be able to do that like on Sunday? And she just wears it that way through school?
No.
Oh, I don't know how hair works.
I might be able to get it done on Monday morning.
Interesting.
And last until jujitsu, but it won't last during her sleep. She has thin hair.
Oh.
Thin straight. It won't stay. It won't grab.
Thomas has thin hair. I always feel like he's balding on the top of his head.
Yeah.
If it like falls a certain way, you're like, are you losing hair?
Thomas has white hair too.
Does he?
He has some white hairs.
Oh gosh. If this is a medical thing, please send us a DM.
No, I've had him checked for a thinning hair all as well for that.
Just a little Rogaine?
That's it.
Rogaine and push-ups.
For 5-year-olds.
That's all that fixes everything.
Yeah.
And it's hot. It's like the desert here.
It
was 80 degrees today.
Oh my gosh, this man.
It was
80. This man can't do cold and he can't do hot. If it falls, if it's above 77 and below 37, you hate it.
I don't understand like how.
It also wasn't the desert. It was humid today. Like, that's not how the desert feels.
Desert, my wife.
Jungle.
Oh. No, truthfully, I don't understand how I can like function in other types of things because this is what I mean. So like, yeah, I hate cold. Like I cold. Hate when it's
wind.
Windy. Oh, windy. Wind. No, pinky up. I hate it. I hate the wind. No. And like, I absolutely hate humid heat, whatever. But
that soccer with the scarf around your face the other day.
It was so windy. I couldn't handle that. But then like, also like I jiu-jitsu is super hot with the gi and everything on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like I put
myself here,
but in between things, like I won't get a drink of water. Like I'm like, no, I'm going to push myself. Like it's so funny. Like I can have a switch where like I can block all of that out and be like, no, I'm pushing.
Yep.
But then I have like my civilian self who's like, no, no.
No, that's not really the no. Your Hispanic, your Hispanic lady comes out. It's so cold.
I was like, I don't say that. And then it got windy. I was like, I know. No me gusta. Yes, that does happen.
That's like frío.
Like, I know. I think I do that just to you.
No, you don't.
I do it. Who else I do it to?
Children and your mother. She's where you got it from.
It is.
Oh, Nana.
Just so interesting. It's just interesting how like that, all that.
Your intolerance for weather changes.
Yeah. And my lactose.
That.
Too.
And gluten. Man. And grass. Oh, it's grass cutting season. I walked through the backyard today to go get the chicken eggs and I was like, I need to mow again already.
It didn't look like you got super like low.
I didn't because the grass was really high. So I had to use a higher setting. So now I need to do it again.
Should have tried the apple bottom jeans. Sorry.
The boots with the fur.
I got it.
The whole neighborhood is staring at her. Sorry. She starts to melt. Sorry. Okay. I'm done.
I'm so embarrassed right now. Everyone's looking at me.
People are listening to this.
I know.
I'm so sorry.
I don't have nowhere to hide.
So what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm.
Seamless transition.
I've been practicing. You sent me a video. What video did you send me?
Pearl, yes. Responding yes. to Kristalina Everett.
Yeah. So,
because somebody else posted like, oh no, don't go after Kristalina. And I was like, for what? And I got, it was the clickbait worked.
It was a dumb episode. It was an interesting video. So, there is a female influencer who is part of the Red Pill community, whose name is Pearl Davis. She recently debated Michael Knowles for about 2 hours on marriage and like the state of marriage and whether people should be getting married. And then she did, and like recently, I think last week when you sent it to me, she made a video about marriage, and I think it was more directed to Christian women. Mm-hmm. Right. And then she used a 10-year-old video of Kristalina Everett as like an example of like, look at this. And I thought it was just so interesting. And there's a lot of different like threads to pull on. So I'm interested to see like where the conversation goes. Cause, definitely I am more involved in the, is zeitgeist a word? Like, what does it mean?
What?
The word zeitgeist. Have you heard that?
No. Nope.
Oh, great. Let me look it up.
Google.
Can you pause? I mean, not pause. No, don't. Don't actually pause. Sorry, my old woman came out. Can you stall? You're great.
That's not my strong suit. Oh, my goodness.
The defining spirit or mood of a particular period of history. Okay, so I kind of used it, right? So, sorry, what I was going towards is like the theme of a lot of Red Pill stuff is that basically Red Pill is to, and she defines it in her video with about Kristalina, that it's for men to be able to get more women, get more wealth and status and this and that. And a lot of Gen Z men have jumped into that and like mm-hmm. have started.
They're on board with
that. Yeah, they're on board with that. And then there's also a lot of just Gen Z in general is also, if they're not going towards that direction, they have like really walked away from any traditional roles, traditional values, traditional things. So like Gen Z seems to be very split. Mm-hmm. And one thing they're hugely split on is the idea of marriage. Sorry, not hugely split on. Like those, there's two different avenues that a lot of Gen Z is taking. Both seem to tend to agree that they do not want to get married. Mm-hmm. So like there's the Red Pill community just does not endorse marriage at all. Keep going.
How do the women feel about the red? Like, how does Pearl feel about the Red Pill community? Because she
does not think that marriage is a good in this country because of the government's involvement.
So then she just plans on staying like a perpetual virgin though. Like, she's like very, mm-hmm. she agrees with the Red Pill community that men want like pure women.
Yeah, I think
because that was one of the things she bashed on Kristalina about.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, so I'm
jumping ahead, but sorry.
No, you're fine. I think this is interesting and like I'm sure it's fairly educational for people who have better things to do than spend time on YouTube.
So since you do that, fill us in. tell us what.
So
they
like
think.
I can't speak for her exactly because I haven't watched a ton of her videos. But I do know that she can be seen as very radical in the like, she does say she's conservative. She says she's Catholic, and she is like believes in Christian values. I do think she's open to being in a relationship, getting married. She just thinks that marriage itself is not a good for men, given the current laws, and that men should not get married because of the way the laws are right now.
Okay. They don't benefit the men.
They don't benefit men if things don't go well in the relationship.
They're swaying in that. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So she
they lean towards the woman.
Right. And regardless. So she agrees with the red pill men in sense of like, that things aren't fair for them. Because a lot of like the red pill men, like it's kind of like a,
they're fighting back against feminism. Yeah, they're fighting back against feminism.
It's a meninism. Her argument, that was the same thing she argued with Michael Knowles about, was that marriage isn't good right now for men, and that like men going into marriage is basically risking everything. Like you're betting the farm on this one relationship that most likely isn't going to go well. You're shaking your head. And
well, that sounds super Christian.
Well, like, so, think, so,
like, you should be thinking about how this will benefit you when you get divorced. Like, that doesn't seem
so. Well, this is the thing. So, I want to title this episode something along the lines of that, like, because Catholicism can save marriage for Gen Z.
Okay.
But I think, because I do think that's true. I think that if you go into marriage with a actual Catholic worldview, marriage is very different than how the world sees it.
Yeah.
However, I think I'm not saying this like in a derogatory way, but I feel like a ton of Catholics, Everett's, you give me any, like even Bishop Barron, everyone that I've taught, like read and watched try to address red pill is completely out of touch with what they're
actually
saying. So like even you saying like, well, that sounds Christian, like that's what everyone's saying. Like they're like, they'll immediately go at them and be like, this is why they're wrong in their worldview, which I completely agree. But like, could you articulate why they got to that place?
Yeah.
So like
they're missing the opportunity to change their mind.
Right. Well, or even just like meet them where they're at. Like they're like a lot of men are afraid to get married because they're not sure they could trust their wives.
Yep.
Right. They don't know if they can trust a personal relationship. And this is like, okay, completely aside from the, like the whole, like you shouldn't be sleeping around with a ton of women. Like that's a separate thing, but like, they're afraid that like, okay, I get married and I'm immediately in this contractual agreement with someone. Mm-hmm. And if we have kids and then they cheat on me or choose to, you know, leave me for any reason whatsoever, they will automatically have custody of the kids. They'll automatically have 50% of everything and then whatever child support. And like, I'm left with nothing. So like, that's what they see the laws as. And that's where a lot of them are coming from. So like, so like you could say like, well, they shouldn't be thinking about what's in it for them, but in their mind, no one is looking out for them. Right.
They're pretty convinced that, that they have to set themselves up to be successful because no one else is going, like no one else cares.
They're no one only, else is caring. No one's going to be there for them if they do get divorced. So like one of Pearl's arguments with Michael Knowles, because Michael Knowles basically said like, that's fine. But if you look at the traditional Catholic movements or traditional Catholic communities, divorce rate's really low. Look at all the people that, look at those great marriages, look at all the kids they're having, look how they're happy they are. And he's largely correct again. But then her argument is that like, there's not that many women. And for like the amount of men that want to have there's not women looking for that.
Women.
So like the
interesting.
So like there's more women who are living more of a secular life, who are sleeping around, who are having fun and partying, and like if there are men who are early 20s looking for a wife, there's very low likelihood they're going to find one that has the same values that he has. So then if he does get married with them, like he's risking a ton. Mm-hmm. And that's where like her argument's coming from. So like that's why even with the debate between her and Michael Knowles, I feel like they were speaking past each other a ton, because like her argument still is like, that's fine, but there, like, you could tell me that men need to find a good Catholic wife and a Catholic wife has to find a good Catholic husband, but like there aren't that many faithful people anymore. Mm-hmm. So like, where should they be looking?
Yeah. But I think
and this is why she dumped on Kristalina.
Yeah. I don't know how though, like, I don't know when like the cognitive dissonance on both sides is going to like become apparent, because like you're saying that, but then a lot of the red pill community, maybe not the Catholic versions of the red pill community, like they're out, I don't know, quote unquote on the prowl. So like they're in places where there's like partying and drinking because they're looking for hookups and stuff like that. So are you saying that there's like this other subculture of red pill conservatives that are
I think red pill, I think like red pill side, I think a lot of like, there's a lot of faithful Catholic men who are like, I want to get married. I want to have a family. Mm-hmm. I want to have all the things. Like, where do I find a wife?
Okay.
Like, where do I start looking? And then same thing for women. I know there's a lot of Catholic women who are like,
for sure.
I have, and like, well, how do I date? And so what a lot of men will do then is they'll turn to red pill, because red pill will be like, well, if you want to find a girl, you need to have these things. And yes, then you'll have a girl.
Appealing. Yes.
And then, but as they go through, they'll be like, well, now you did all these things to be appealing and you can't trust the person that you're bringing in, because they're only coming because you do these things to be appealing. So as soon as you stop being appealing, they're going to leave.
Yeah. As soon as they see as soon as you're vulnerable or they see the real you, they're not going to want to be with you
anymore. And a big problem with a lot of marriage prep and how the Catholic community is speaking to this. So again, this is all the Catholic speakers, is that like we're speaking past their lived experience. Mm-hmm. So we're preaching a lot of Catholic theology. Like, this is what marriage should look like. This is why it's good. It's a covenant. It's an exchange of persons. Will the good of the other. We say all the things like chastity is a virtue and it's how to love people freely, blah, blah, blah. And like, okay, you can teach a person that, but then a lot of faithful Catholics would be like, okay, how do I find a spouse and make sure that I have all that?
Yeah.
And like, we largely at the moment don't have a good answer.
Yeah.
I think we could, but we don't. And then these other communities have started branching up because they have better answers than we do. Yeah.
Well, they have more practical answers at least.
Sure. And then you have the secular side who's just like, don't worry about that. Just sleep around.
Yeah. Like, just go have fun.
And then
and then when you feel it's right. And then mm-hmm. you're like, yeah, but I.
Or just like when you find the person that you just click with and you can, you're sleeping around and you found the person you want to be with, like just be with them, but you don't have to get married. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think the statistics, and I may butcher these because I read this a long time ago, but like compared to millennials, Gen Z will be, they're 40% less of Gen Z will get married compared to millennials. Like, it's going to be a huge number that just aren't going to get married. Mm-hmm. Because they don't see the benefit of it. So, and this is again, like both sides don't see the benefit of it. It's not just red pill, it's not just
liberal. And it also, that comment also reminds me of one of our former youth group teens who's now in college, so she would fall into this age group, into this generation, saying to us one time that we were the only Catholic married couple that she's around that like one another. Mm-hmm. She's like, I've never seen spouses like one another. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's been some of that also comes from a generational pushback of that age group of parents that they're around and their friends' parents. If they stayed married, they weren't necessarily happily married, or at least not demonstrating that they're happily married, because a lot of them were working a lot or, just not like having fun and showing affection. And that, like, that wasn't looked upon highly. It's like to flirt with your spouse and have fun in front of your kids. Like, it's allowed you're allowed to do that around your kids.
Things have changed so much. Like for that generation now, like the way they're going to meet people is going to be through devices.
True.
Right. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they pulled in pre-canon, so another factors. Most recent pre-canon we did, like how many of them met online.
A lot of them were online.
Like, more people are meeting online now. And there's also there's the fear of that, of like, you're meeting somebody with a profile. So like, what do they put?
They're going to put forward their best things. Honest? Yeah.
It's just, so. Oof. I thought, like, I'd hate to have to date again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm only 5'6". Sorry.
I'm going to show up and be a disappointment. At least I already knew.
No, okay. I'll get.
You were taller than when I met you.
Okay.
You grew. I watched you grow.
Oh, yeah. No, what are they called? The platform shoes?
Yeah.
No, but like they're not called platform shoes.
I thought that's what they're called.
No, like the shoes, they're not inserts. Like with the bigger things.
Yeah.
Not like platform, those are like disco, like not those things. Like,
I think that's still what they're called.
Oh, whatever.
High risers.
That'd be a disappointment anyway. But
then my Hispanic lady comes out.
Platform shoes in the winter.
We go on a date and the wind blows. Hi.
But so when Pearl was dunking on Kristalina, her argument was, because in Kristalina's testimony, she talks about, her life prior to hearing a chastity talk and prior to her conversion, and how she, she slept with some other guys and this and that. And then one of Pearl's arguments was, see, this is what's more typical in the church. And then she was specifically in the church saying that in Christian churches, you have the women who will go out and sleep around, and then you have the men who keep themselves together.
Yeah. So kind of, she was talking about both Jason and Krystalina.
Because Krystalina shares about Jason. So Jason shared in his chat, he talks like he was a virgin until they got married, and Krystalina shared that she wasn't. And then Pearl's saying like, this is a big problem in the Christian church. Mm-hmm. Is that like, and this is why a lot of men don't trust their wives, yeah, because like they all have past, they all have body counts. And then the men come in.
And
like,
they have to settle this is what's available.
And then she said, she's like, that the Christian churches need to stop having speakers and leaders who have had pasts, but they should only have people who have done the things the way they should. So that way the people, the women, the young women looking up to them, would follow their example. And what was very obvious to me is that Pearl did not have a, I'm good at tangents.
No.
Lecrae, the first time I heard about having a kingdom worldview was Lecrae, he's a Christian rapper. He would call himself a hip hop artist that raps about Jesus, but not a Christian rapper.
Okay, excuse me.
But he wrote a book. I think the book was called Unashamed. He wrote two books. The first book was called Unashamed. And he talked about how he had a conversion and, you know, had all his music and everything. And then at one point he was challenged by a pastor and said that like he did not have a kingdom worldview. Basically, he didn't see the world through a Christian lens, that he had his Christian life and he saw, then he had all the other aspects of his life. But like those, and as that, though, not that those aspects weren't integrated, but like he didn't see them through the lens of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so he called it having a kingdom worldview. So like everything around him, he now saw differently because of Jesus, and not because like, and I'm trying to be specific without like, I don't want to be too specific because like everyone's view will be a little different, but like, it's not just like, oh, my world is different because Jesus died for my sins and saved me from these things. But like, I don't know, a situation with one of our kids asking you to apologize for a thing, like mm-hmm. seeing that through a Christian worldview, like, I don't know, being short on with somebody, or you like hit traffic, like seeing that through a Christian worldview. So like, does that make sense? Like everything starts being seen differently because of Jesus, not because like he died for you and rose from the dead, but like you see with his eyes now. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
So like not so much the like, oh yes, I'm a Christian, so instead of swearing in traffic, I'm going to just grumble under my breath, but like, and like, yeah, and not see it as, it's not so much of like a reflection, but like seeing forward through a Christian.
It's more than like there's a so like, okay, oh, all right, I'm trying to explain this well without, I'm doing a terrible job.
Get specific.
So like one example would be like when our kids ask about ghosts, mm-hmm. right? Like there's a reality to ghosts, and that's a Christian reality. So like there's like whatever they learn in books, there's whatever they might see in like a cartoon or something about ghosts. When they ask about ghosts, I'm very clear about like what the church teaches. So I'd be like, no, if you do see a ghost, you could do one, you could pray. If it's a soul that's in purgatory, that needs prayers. If it's something very scary, then you pray to Mama Mary. And like, cause they know there's angels, they know there's demons, they know there's souls that maybe haven't gone to heaven yet. Mm-hmm. And maybe God's allowing you to see the ghost so that you could pray for the soul to go to purgatory. And if it's scary, then it could be a demon. And then you pray to your guardian angel, you pray to the saints. And like all of that is a reality. Mm-hmm. It's not a, like a thing we do. It's like, it's a truth that now exists. So like, oh, you hear a bump in the night. It's not like, oh my goodness, what does that be? Like we know what it could be. Mm-hmm. Right. So like you have like boxes to put things in. So like, and that's their worldview now. It's absolutely Catholic. So like if, like somebody gets sick, we immediately add them to our prayer intentions at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. Right. So like that's because our worldview now is not just like that somebody's sick, that's sad, but like, no, let's pray to God because God is a healer and he desires their good and he's working. So like there, does that make sense? So like the things that happen to us now have like we can do something about them through our Christian life, as opposed to just having a box of like, Jesus died for my sins, I'm trying to be a good person, and then I handle everything else separately. Yes.
So we are like participating in the Christian life. Like we are participating in the reality that is God and Jesus, and like that we cooperate with that, and that, Is that what you mean?
That's how we live it out. I mean, more about how we see things, though, like how you interpret things. So like, yes. So, and maybe this is something we struggle with. So like, you get into a car accident, and right after the initial shock, you could also like, you could be like one of those annoying people who are like, I'm going to offer this up.
Yeah.
Like those people are the ones that have a very good kingdom worldview of like, you're right. You should offer it up. This is why you're a saint. And this is why I'm not going to be one. But like, does that mean like, right? Oh, like the people who are like, oh, they're, we know people like this who are like, somebody talks bad about them. Like, oh, it's okay. Like, this is just like, I'll be their punching bag because they just need it. Like, right. Like yes. Like the people who are very saint-like, like they have that worldview of like, they are able to contextualize everything within the gospel.
Yes. And they really mean it.
And they really mean it. They're not just putting on a show.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So like, I think you're right. And like the action is like, we're integrating all this into our lives. But like, I think the initial, like seeing it this way, because the problem with Pearl is that she sees that, that Chrysalina decided to have a conversion, quote unquote conversion, and is now living a different life. And she sees that as like nonsense. But a person with an actual Christian worldview would be like, oh, that's redemption.
Yes.
And like, that's like freedom.
That is the Christian life actually lived out because because she is redeemed. She's redeemable.
Yes. So like, she's so my whole examples that were terrible. Redemption. Yeah. My examples were terrible, but I was talking about like the lens that you see it through, not like the action you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I think Catholics are really good at the action part, but like, I think Protestants is better of like the people. That's just like, everything is of the Lord. And like, they have those lenses everything is of the Lord. And they're and I think that's what we need to claim in order to be able to change how people see the world in marriage, is like, claim those lenses of like, marriage isn't this contractual thing. And it's not just, you know, and it's not this nonsense thing where like a guy can keep it together his whole life. And then he goes, just picks up women that Pearl deems as garbage, but like, no, both the man and the woman are redeemed.
Yeah.
And in through that redemption, there's a sacrament where they get together and like, there's more grace and, but it all starts with the initial lens.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we could reach Gen Z, is by presenting them with a new lens to see the world. Cause right now the world they see is very dark. I talked a lot and barely made sense.
No, I'm trying to.
For everyone else.
You fully turn the mic to my face.
You know, it's funny.
What?
I could talk about anything. That must be so hard that like I could just jibber, jibber, jibber.
Talk so fast too.
The other podcast. No,
I'm partner. Just trying to think about like all the things you said and pick on one of them and then like expand on it to try to make it make sense. What were you just going to go talk about?
I'm an external processor and the other person I'm trying to run a podcast with has called himself a ponderer.
A ponderer.
I think you're also a ponderer. You could sit and ponder this for hours, can't you?
No, I'm just trying to sort out what you said. I'm an internal processor.
You and everyone else listening to this.
Okay, go with what you're going to say.
That was it.
Oh, you're just going to label us as external and internal processing?
Ponderer.
Ponder.
Pander.
I don't pander.
Panda.
Okay.
I need Chinese food.
Michael Scott.
I could talk forever.
Just filling. You can edit empty space. So like people don't need to know that I'm pondering. But now since you're jibber jabbering, you're going to leave it in. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be authentic. And here I am.
Look, I'm revving you up.
Yeah. I'm getting frustrated. I think, so one thing I think you're saying is that, to like live with a Christian kingdom worldview is to have a much more like complete picture and understanding of our life and not just have the, like the practicals of the day to day is like one thing. And then our planning for the future, as far as spouses, we might think about, okay, well, what does God want? So I'm going to work in that direction of what God wants. So I should try to be virtuous and, you know, more straight edge. Or, well, why are you working towards that? That doesn't do anything good. So you could just do whatever feels good. And all of those ways of going about life are just incomplete because you're not like looking at all that you do through the real reality of like that there is a God and that there is Jesus and he has come to save the world and to save you specifically, and that you're not like thinking that way and looking at everything that happens to you and around you and like in your life through that lens, through those glasses.
You did such, yes, exactly what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Sorry it took so long, everyone. That's exactly what I wanted to say. Because like how, and I think.
I do understand you. It just takes me a little while.
We wouldn't be married if you didn't get me. Because I'm only 5'6". It
goes in my ear, through my brain, then eventually out my mouth.
And I think for ourselves, I know I struggle with that, having a kingdom worldview, because like it's very easy to get stuck in like the day to day and just and the tasks I need to get done. Mm-hmm. And like if you think of it, if like people who have a deep faith could be like, no, I do it all the time. Like one example I think for myself is like with our kids, I think you and I have been very honest about what we hope for them and like what we hope to do for as parents for them. And then how quickly we forget those goals. Like in the moment of mess.
When they annoy me.
Right. But like you, but we do like whenever yeah. like there's, and like, that's where I think
yeah.
we lose the kingdom worldview.
I forget that they're redeemable when their laundry and their towels are or in even their bed.
That, even that we're being redeemed by yes. having to do those things. Right. Like there's a lot of that, that like, that the holier people that we know would, I'm assuming they do. They probably are handle it the same way we do, and there's actually no hope. But but like, who can like take
actors,
a deep? Who
can, just better at playing.
We're all
the part.
Fake. This is not real. But like, who take a deep breath and be like, okay, this is an opportunity to like help them encounter Christ, help me encounter Christ. You know, and
to be Christ to them.
And it just sounds so corny, right? But like, it's true, and this is the things that we need to improve on.
Well, and that I think is so true about marriage. And that's where the two sides like are missing it, but also kind of brush it off, because to the one side where it's like, do what feels right. And like, no one can define your life for you. And, you know, the way you live your life is your life, and the way I live mine is mine. And
marriage is archaic, and it's not needed anymore.
Right. It's not necessary. You could just be together. I think what they're missing is that, like, that greater opportunity to enter into something that is really important and matters and is bigger than themselves. Like, they're so personalized that they miss the opportunity to be a part of, like, of that grandeur, right? That like, that there are saints praying for them to get to heaven and their holiness. And that like, that, yeah, this archaic ancient man from 2000 years ago actually knew mm-hmm. that they would exist and wants their good. Like they don't see that. But then also the other side seems to be a lot more like independent focus as well. So like, it's kind of funny, like mm-hmm. you're talking about, they seem so different, but also at the same time. So like, I'm going to be self-made and I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to make things the way that I need them to be. And if people aren't going to live that way, then they're not worth my time and they're mm-hmm. not worth my effort. And like, so I shouldn't associate with them. I shouldn't be friends with them. I definitely shouldn't marry them. You know, mm-hmm. if they're not going to be able to live up to these standards, and like both are missing the greatness that is the Christian worldview, like mm-hmm. that, like, yeah, you're right. Like, do strive for greatness, but like, allow me to be a part of that. So that like, you're still thinking too small. Like, even your greatness is way too small.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're talking about like, they don't want to have a spouse, particularly men having what, like your example of men having a wife, because they will likely leave them and then the kids are split and everything, but like missing out on that opportunity to be part of the greatness that is to becoming a family. Like, I don't want to be cheesy. I know that's our tagline, but like missing out on the opportunity to join your life to another. And again, I know you're talking like this is talking past them,
mm-hmm.
but I think that there's for the speakers, right? And like for us, it's like, oh, but like, you're missing mm-hmm. this great part of like, yeah, that is the scary thing. They could, yes, they could decide, they could, you know, leave you, or like, you guys can start something amazing
mm-hmm.
by bringing both of you together to mm-hmm. create a family and like be fruitful and make a really beautiful change in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it was C.S. Lewis
when he writes in A Grief Observed, right? That's like a short book that he wrote after the passing of his wife. And he talks about how, like, I don't remember it because I read it a long time ago. And I believe this is from it. I could be wrong, but it's, but he talks about how, like, you risk a ton with love. Mm-hmm. Like you risk a ton of, and like the possibility of being heartbroken and like in The Grief Observed, like he's experiencing that heartache now. Mm-hmm. And like, but like, and it's a beautiful line, but like something along the lines of like that, like what his experience now was worth it because of what he got to experience out of love in the beginning, mm-hmm. With his wife. And I think that's something that like both sides, like you said, like the super secular and then the maybe more conservative, like they desire a safety in their relationships. Like they want their relationships to be safe and
predictable and
right.
Like, assured.
So both. So like even the ones that like, say you're in a relationship and you're like, well, I don't need to get married. We don't need to like buddy it with all this paperwork and all this. Like there's a safeness in not having that commitment that would require all this extra work to separate again. Right. And then the same thing with the people who are like, I did all this to make myself self-made and I want to guarantee she's not going to leave me. Like there's also you're desiring a safeness there. Mm-hmm. So what a Christian worldview would hopefully give you is first give you a relationship with Christ who in C.S. Lewis and Chronicles of Narnia, when they ask about Aslan the lion, is he safe? Like, you know, and what is it? It's not the gopher.
The beaver.
But like he's not safe, like he's anything but safe, but he's good.
Yeah.
And like a relationship with Christ is not a safe one because he requires everything from you and requires you to sacrifice everything and more than you think you could possibly sacrifice on your own. And you have to amend areas of your life. Like this is a C.S. Lewis episode. Like in Mere Christianity, he talks about how like Jesus comes into a house and he starts knocking down walls and he starts like pulling up the piping and everything because he's not. Where you used to have a home, now he wants to build the palace.
Yeah.
So he wants to change everything.
Yeah.
So like there, and that's something that is unsafe in a relationship for someone to come in and be like, you need to fix all this.
Yeah.
But that's what Christ does.
Well, and that goes with the gospel from this past weekend about pruning vines and mm-hmm. pruning branches and like how, like if you've ever actually looked into what it means for a gardener to prune things, like it's not like nipping away at little, like the little edges that are a little bit longer than the rest of everything else. Like pruning is like chopping away at like a lot of stuff. And then after the pruning, you look at something and you're like, that's now like just one stem. Like there's not much left. But it's in that like painful, dramatic pruning that like the real fruitfulness can come. Like you're allowing for that plant to become what it was mm-hmm. made for. And you're not holding it back. You're not stifling it because you're afraid to prune it. Like that you're afraid to like take off the thing that you think looks like, well, that's, I can settle for that. That looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like it's giving me some stuff.
Right.
And like, no, like, and like Jesus is that gardener. Like he's mm-hmm.
right. And I think, this is why I think Catholicism can save marriage for Gen Z and then hopefully for Generation Alpha. At some point I would love for all church leaders to start leading with Christ very explicitly for conversion for people first. Because I think the reason Jason was okay with Chris and Lena's past is because like he knows he's not perfect, right? Because mm-hmm. a person who has come to Christ realizes that they have their own failings mm-hmm. and things they have to work on and things
that need him.
Right. So like, you go in with that lens and now like you see another person who also like recognizes the need of Christ. Like that's,
and you're just like, high five. We both know like, who we need.
But like then it's like you're doing this together.
Yes.
And then there's also humility within the relationship. So then like you're then the standard is not like you are dating me because of wealth of how much, you know, how strong
stature.
I am, stature and what is it?
Financial
game
success.
In my game.
Your game.
In my game. Like, it's not because I said that like a cute flirty thing over Tinder, right? Like mm-hmm. we are together because like you are pursuing Christ and I'm pursuing Christ and we can do this together. Mm-hmm. Obviously I make you laugh. Like that's a good plus. I'm only 5'6", but like we're doing this together.
Keep saying it.
Molly.
It's like the trivia.
5'6¾".
This will be the trivia post.
But
how tall is Renzo?
No, short kings. Short kings unite. Message me on Instagram. But like that we're going together and pursuing this together, like that was Michael Knowles' main point to Pearl, is that like within a Catholic relationship, divorce isn't an answer. Like it's never allowed because the couple comes in both pursuing Christ together, and divorce isn't part of that. And they recognize that. So like they have to figure out all their nonsense because they see all of their stuff through a Christian worldview, through a Christian lens, and now they can pursue Christ together.
So how can we share that with Gen Z? The kingdom worldview.
I have no idea. We need to, everyone, all of the Catholic speakers who are out there, like speaking so much about marriage, I think they're doing good job. They're doing good work speaking about marriage. Like you have to keep that up because there are people who need to hear that. But I think we need to refocus on Christ. And like that needs to be pushed more as though no one has ever heard it before because there are
a lot of them haven't really. No,
and that's the crazy thing. And I think we live in a little echo chamber. Like if you're your YouTube algorithm that's specific to you, because all of our algorithms are different. Like if you go on YouTube on your phone versus me going on my phone, we're going to get different videos thrown at us because the algorithm is choosing based on what we've already used, looked at before. So if we've seen Catholic content, we're going to get fed Catholic content. All of these 20-somethings who have not been looking at Trent Horn and anybody else on YouTube, like they don't know anything about Jesus. Mm-hmm. The most they've heard is that he's maybe bigoted because his followers believe these things that are bigoted.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like if we were to say to them, like you were like the basic stuff that Focus talks about, like you were created for relationship.
Yeah.
Like they have not heard that before.
Yeah.
And that's like as great as Focus is, and they're on so many campuses, like each missionary gets how many, like 10 a year. Mm-hmm. Like, and like, they know they try to plant a lot, but like how many people are graduating from colleges that haven't had Focus, right? Like there's more people coming into the workplace now and to other areas of life that are becoming adults who have never heard of Christ. Mm-hmm. And like, all Catholics need to reclaim that and start talking about Jesus.
Yeah. And in doing that, I think that lived reality needs to transform your like demeanor and your way of like communicating with your spouse and around your spouse. And like, so that when you are out in the world, as you inevitably are, that like people can tell that you love one another. Like, I think it's really important for Gen Z to see marriage as a good, because they've like witnessed good marriages.
Yeah, maybe. See, this is where like, because I wonder if they, because, and this is really what I think, I wonder if they would just see me like, that's great for them, but like, they don't think that's possible. That's not something I want. That's why like, I don't know if like more it's like, they should just see people who are joyful and then they could be like, why are they joyful? Mm-hmm. Rather than like, does that make sense? I don't know if...
What's the difference from what I just said to what you just said?
I'm not sure. Well, like, I don't know. I don't know if people look at if like... And this is, I really believe this. I don't know if like the new... And looking at youth group kids, if the younger kids coming up now care as much that we're married as much as the older kids used to. Like, oh, you guys are married, this is great, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know if the new kids coming in are seeing it with that much. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Why do you think that though? Anywho, all right, maybe not. Maybe I just like being married to you. And so whenever someone comments, I say, yep, that's him. That's my 5'6" husband. And I love him. Isn't he great and funny and tall? He looks tall to me.
The platform shoes.
I don't know how... Like you're talking about like lead with Jesus. Like how do you,
yes, I, that's
like in the grocery store.
I don't know, but that's the problem. Like, I feel like this is,
that's, so then this is a horrible podcast episode.
No,
Catholicism
no.
will save marriage, leaving, but I don't know how to do that.
No, I don't think, why might have to do the answers
because we're the podcast.
No,
host.
I bring the problem to you and then you guys work on it because so the, and this is something that people say all the time, but like if Catholics had that, like a Protestant zeal for certain things, like I'm sure things would be a little different. Like how many, like when Protestants like first have their conversions, like they don't care. Like evangelicals, like Felipe. talks about all, like, watched All the Chosen in Easter weekend. Like,
yes.
Because he's like, oh, this is great. And I like, he's all about it. And that's, he talks to me about it all the time. Whenever he sees me, like, oh, did you?
Yeah, but is he talking to the other parents? He knows that you like Jesus too.
No, he does.
Is he evangelizing or is he just, you and Matt don't count? He knows that. Matt and I showed up to jujitsu with ashes on our head.
Oh, like, maybe that's it. I don't know.
He knows.
I don't know.
We gave away our secret.
But like, I don't know. That's, I don't want to get on a high horse.
That's the only way you could be tall.
But like, I don't know. I do think that there needs to be, like, we need to start reaching out more and not just like planting seeds, but like.
I want to know how you think that, how you put.
I don't know. I guess the reason I say I don't know is because like I can't like prescribe a thing because I don't know what people like can do in their lives. I know what we do.
Yeah.
It's like we do. I think more people need to do different things. Like they don't do what we do. Like we said last episode, like I'm done loving people. Clearly we're not. Clearly we're not. But like they need to start loving more people. Mm-hmm. And we need to not do Benedict option. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. I think we need to stop with the Benedict option. And
can you describe what that is?
When you just crawl in a hole that's Catholic and hope that everybody else dies.
That's not. Also, our son's name is Benedict. That's not what it means.
It's based on like the Saint Benedict of Nursia, and like they, you know, founded the order, and then all of them.
It's kind of like turn inward before going out.
They turn inward and got super solid, and then went out and converted. Yeah, tons of people. So like the idea is to go out. Because the world's gonna burn if we don't.
Like, but don't live a happy marriage like Monica
suggested. No.
Go out and say the name of Jesus.
I didn't say that either.
Your eyes are rolling.
I didn't say that either. I just don't.
You shot down my idea.
I don't want to prescribe. I don't want to prescribe because I don't know. I just like right like this is what we talked about like with like discussion over like do this because we're not experts. I don't.
So you guys need to go and have a conversation about how you, as a married couple, are going to take your marriage and show it off. Like show off how marriage is good and appealing and sanctifying, and the world needs more good marriages. So how are you going to do that in your community?
So, because can't people... Okay. I think this is a hot take. You tell me if this is too hot, but I think people are more willing to talk about how they get their kids to sleep than they are to talk about Jesus and what Jesus has done in their lives. Yes. Right. Like, or like debate on like, do we do organic this or that before talking about what Jesus has done in their lives? Like, I think there's, and that's why I'm like, sorry. So then like saying like show off your marriage. I'm like, I think people are okay doing like talking about their families. And like keeping it in the box that like is away from the Christian worldview of like, so like you, I guess you could talk about your families and like show off your marriage, but like that, but in a way that shows up within the context of like, but we do this because of Jesus. And if it wasn't for Jesus, like we probably wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And like, just the fact that you have more than two kids is not enough to be like, look, we're Catholic. Like no one knows that. They just think you don't know how to use a condom. I'm not in like, again, you assume people know NFP birth control. They just think we're crazy. Yeah. It's like, they don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about humanae vitae, or I almost made up a Latin phrase. Right. Like they just don't know any of that. So like, I think it's really easy to be like, yeah, no, we co-op.
Yeah. But like, you need to be more explicit is what you're saying.
Yeah. But then again, I don't think we're super explicit, but then we get labeled as like people apologize for swearing in front of us.
Yeah.
I like secular things.
Yeah. And they don't know what words we use.
No. Why? Do we give off a vibe? We probably give off a Puritan vibe. But that was my point. So it's not that. What?
I probably do, I guess.
No, you don't. Can you give them a final thing like you did before?
No, that was my final thing. That's all I have in me.
But within a...
You're expecting a lot.
But like, now I gave you new information.
So now... You just spit. Like, I felt that. There's
that was love.
Droplets on sorry. My nose.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Now go and have a conversation about how you will joyfully share your marriage and explicitly share that it's Jesus changed your life. No, I think.
See, I knew there was more.
My nipples.
Ouch. There she is.
Why is she a she?
Your Hispanic lady oh, came out okay, again. Okay. Hi. I think we need to get better at like, okay, so maybe this is me. This is not you. You talk off the cuff a lot easier. But for me, I have to like come up with like scripts ahead of time of like, if I'm in a certain situation, these are like, this is an okay, semi-awkward, I'm not going to say it's not going to be awkward, but like semi-awkward way to bring up Jesus. And like, I could say it like this. So like, if you guys need to come up with some like ways of, if someone out at the store makes a comment about swearing, you like, what's my response? And like, is there a way to transition that conversation to faith and the Christian kingdom worldview? Or like if they make a comment about how many kids you have, or if somebody like asks you or about sleep training your kids, like how can you direct that conversation in a way that is more kingdom worldview instead of just like, well, I read a book and this behaviorist said this is the best strategy on how to potty train your kid. But like, okay, or you can like transform that conversation into how potty training is a part of like raising a human and like, yeah, just all of it. So maybe you need to come up with some lines and like practice mm-hmm. them.
I like that. And then if it's somebody who you have like somewhat of a relationship with, be ready to like enter their lives if they do mm-hmm. ask more. So like grocery store, you're probably not going to, please don't go with home yeah. with people from yeah. the register.
There probably won't be a follow-up to that.
But like if you do share with someone who like, again, like parent at the sidelines of soccer or like that are on teams with your kids and doing other things like that, you're yeah. going to see more often, like that can be a way of building things up for them. And then if you are in your 20s, I would say if you're like in your early 20s and you're not married yet, why are you listening to this podcast?
But thank you for being here.
But if you are, or if you know somebody in their 20s, sorry, I would say like they need to start pursuing all Christ.
College kids, keep listening.
Are they still listening? They're almost done with school. They're in the middle.
No, some of them text us about it.
I would say that they should be pursuing Christ. And then as someone who's married, and if you have younger people in your lives, like continuing to encourage them to do that. And I think doing that explicitly, like if you are a possible older mentor role, I think. Yeah. Encouraging that explicitly is yeah. important.
And married couples, like, pursue Christ together. Like, if this is not something you're on the same page about,
turn the page. New book.
No, not a new book.
Newspapers.
It's bedtime. Come back next week.
Hold on, I didn't do the music.
See you at the next.
No, wait, I didn't do the music.
Should be doing together.
Oops, I started too late. Sorry. Okay.
Stop listening to us and go talk to them. We love you.
See you at the next episode.